Good morning, everyone, to our guests and to those of you who fellowship with this congregation. We're certainly happy you're here this morning. And we're thrilled to be able to share ideas with you and concepts that have been worked on for a long, long time. Certainly, there's no doubt in anyone's mind in this building today, in this room, if there were a doubt, you wouldn't be here, that God's children are blessed beyond measure. Amen. Do you feel blessed? Amen. I believe we all do feel blessed. Just right down to the bottom of our spirits, we feel blessed. God has blessed us in so many ways. According to Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, we are the recipients of the riches of God's grace and the riches of God's mercy and the riches of God's glory and the unsearchable riches of Christ. Who could be the recipient of that and not feel blessed? So as children of God, we are blessed. And as members of this congregation, we are certainly blessed. Blessed beyond that of many. Blessed by these facilities, to be able to have this place in which to meet. Blessed by the servant culture this congregation has shown for many, many years. Blessed with an abundance of teachers, people that sacrifice so much and prepare so often to share with us the things they have learned from God's Word. This morning I was blessed to go get Penelope in the infant class and saw a whale eat Jonah 5 consecutive times. It was phenomenal. And to see those teachers work with these young people, I mean, children that can't even talk, and to see them learning because we have dedicated teachers, dedicated evangelists, dedicated deacons, dedicated shepherds, godly young people, godly parents, and faithful saints of all ages. This congregation is certainly blessed, as all children of God are blessed, but we seem to have an abundance of blessings that have been heaped upon us. And as Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, of course, says, to whom much is given, much is required. So your shepherds have been praying and discussing and thinking and concepting and getting input from you for a couple of years now about directions for this church of how we can more faithfully and purposefully fulfill the task that God has given us. And we're sure glad Edwin's here because he's brought an eye of implementation to all the things that we've been working on for times even before he came to be with us. So this morning, he's prepared to show us the tip of the iceberg, and we'll dig more deeply into these concepts as the weeks and months and years go by. This is probably a 12 to 24 month rollout of the ideas that he'll be sharing today, but with one purpose: to more effectively and more fervently and more faithfully serve God, to be more like first century Christians, to make sure that we're on track, but to do it in such a way that we can maximize the potential of each individual in this church, and certainly then collectively as a congregation. And so the presentation today is the beginning. You'll feel like, well, I don't quite understand this, or what is that, or how does this fit? This will not be a presentation of a series or selection of programs, but instead the beginning of an unveiling of a process, the process of how we can help each other and how we can help others be faithful servants of God. So Edwin will begin to unfold this process to help us be more effective in service, more effective in worship, in discipleship, in evangelism, in Bible study, in edification, and in other areas of our Christian walk. So we are so pleased this morning to be together with you as we begin thinking about this more effective way that we can serve him, always with the most important focus being in his will and by God's grace, and to serve him as New Testament Christians did. So we'll begin this morning. We're so glad Edwin is here to present this, the Livingston Circle of Discipleship, as we begin to think together. So now I'll turn it over to Edwin.
Yeah. Zig Ziglar tells the story of a scientific experiment that was conducted on processionary caterpillars. So called because when these particular caterpillars end up in a line, they will simply follow one another in a procession. The story goes that some scientists placed some of these processionary caterpillars in a circle. And in the middle of the circle, placed some food to see what those caterpillars would do. And those caterpillars followed one another in a circle until several of them died. The food was only inches away, but they were merely following one another in a circle. The lesson? Activity does not equal accomplishment. And unfortunately, churches can get in a very similar procession. Filled with activity, doing things because this is just what churches do. They do things. Having programs and activities. And we feel like we're accomplishing great things because we're doing a lot of things. The question we need to back up and ask is, are we doing the best things? Are we doing the things that accomplish the purpose that God has given us? If we don't ever ask that question, then we will likely be plagued with activity, and a lot of it, but not much accomplishment. Today, we want to talk to you about purpose. We want to talk to you about doing the best things. Making sure that we are not simply following along in a procession, always doing what we had always done, or always doing what everybody else has always done. We're not talking about trying to simply branch out and do something different. We're talking about honing in on our purpose and making sure of all the things that we're doing, we are doing the best things. Jesus really paves the way for us in this. In Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44, when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place, and the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. Purpose. The crowds and the disciples would have distracted Jesus from his purpose. They would have filled his life with activity. He would have had plenty of things to do that day. But he would not have been accomplishing his purpose. And so the text goes on to tell us that he was preaching in and among the villages and towns because that was his purpose. Jesus was able to do this because he knew what his purpose was. He knows what his purpose is. Only someone who has a complete grasp, this is my purpose, can make the decision that Jesus made here today. Only those who recognize, here is what I am supposed to be doing, can tell those who would distract them with all kinds of activities, no, I must pursue my purpose. And that, of course, leaves us with a question. What is our purpose? Does this congregation have a purpose? Do you as an individual member know what the purpose of this church that meets on Livingston Avenue is? If somebody came up to you, somebody said, oh, where do you go to church? And you said, oh, I meet with those Christians on Livingston Avenue. Well, what's the purpose of your church? What is it that you guys are trying to do? Well, what would you say? Would you kind of ramble around a little bit and maybe mention a verse here and a verse there and just kind of try to offer up something that sounds spiritual? Or would you be able to say this right here is our purpose? Now, there are churches that have put together amazing mission statements and purpose statements, and they sound wonderful and they're poetic and they're great. They're tough to memorize. And in fact, after a few weeks, even those who did memorize them have forgotten them. They've got a plaque on the wall somewhere, but nobody actually knows what it is. Do we know what our purpose is? There are all kinds of passages that we could turn to, but our shepherds have asked us to turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we find our purpose. Jesus said to the apostles, giving them their purpose, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." What is our purpose? Our purpose is to make disciples. Make disciples. Develop disciples. If you're our guest here this morning, we want you to know that's what we're about. We're not just about producing people who go to church every once in a while. We're not just about producing people who measure up to a couple of moral standards. What we want is disciples. What God is asking for is disciples. Followers, mature, complete. Now that sounds wonderful. Make disciples. Okay, good. There's our purpose. Let's move on with the invitation song. Except that leads us to a question. What on earth is a disciple? What is that going to look like? Once we have made one of these things called a disciple, what are they going to look like? That is the real heart of the Livingston Circle of Discipleship. Allow me to share with you what the scripture says a disciple is so that you can know what it is that we are trying to accomplish. And if you're a member here, we want you to see what a circle of discipleship is because we want you to know what we're trying to make of you. What we're trying to make of me. From the youngest to the oldest. From the newest convert to the most experienced shepherd. Developing discipleship. What is a disciple? Well, the scripture has lots of statements as it talks about discipleship. We need to understand this, that it is all centered around God. Everything that we do as disciples is centered around God. Our discipleship is not about us. It's about Him. But as we grow as disciples, we recognize what the scripture says, for instance, in John chapter 15 and verse 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." We prove to be the disciples of Jesus Christ, the disciples of God, by bringing glory to Him, bearing fruit that brings glory to Him, or we might say honor. A disciple is one who honors God. And so, what are we in the Livingston congregation striving to develop? We are striving to develop people who purely and sincerely and truly bring honor to the Creator God of all the universe. That's a disciple. But the scripture goes on to say in John chapter 6 and verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." A disciple is someone who learns from God. A disciple is a student whose life is filled with continual, ongoing learning. We are not trying to produce people who have gone under the water and come up and now everything's good. We're striving to produce people who see God as their teacher, who learn from Him. A disciple is one who honors God. A disciple is one who learns from God. And so we're striving to develop people who learn from God. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus tells us about His disciples. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Notice this is talking about our love for one another here. This passage isn't talking about our love for the world. There are other passages that talk about that, certainly. But this one talks about our love for one another. The world will know that we are Jesus' disciples by the way we love each other. And what is the standard for that love? It's Jesus' love for us. It is God's love for us. You see, a disciple is someone who loves like God. And so here at the Livingston congregation, what we want to do is develop disciples who honor God, who learn from God, and who love like God. We recognize in John chapter 20 the example of one of our forebears in discipleship. John, as he was concluding this gospel, he said, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." John, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, wrote an entire gospel for one purpose: to point others to Jesus. Everything he wrote in that gospel was designed to let everyone know Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and he was pointing others to God. By John's example, what do we learn? A disciple is someone who points others to God. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, and who points others to God. But there is a governing presence in all of this. And we find it in John chapter 8 and verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." And so we recognize that a disciple is someone who abides in God's word. This is the Livingston circle of discipleship. Not really the Livingston circle. This is God's circle of discipleship. The scripture demonstrates that a disciple who we claim to be is someone who honors God, learns from God, loves like God, and points others to God, all while abiding in God's word. A disciple is someone who abides in God's word, and everything we do to produce disciples and develop disciples must be anchored in abiding in God's word. Brothers and sisters, I hope that you can be as excited about this as I am, for us to recognize and allow this to be our purpose, to guide us in what we are going to do and what we are not going to do, to recognize that our mission, our goal, our purpose, undistractedly, is to develop people who honor God, learn from God, love like God, point others to God while abiding in God's word. Before we move on with the second part of this presentation, I'd like to ask our shepherd, Brother Buddy Payne, to come to the table and lead us in a prayer as we strive to make disciples.
Would you bow with me? O great God of the universe, the blessed and only sovereign God, in whom alone dwells immortality, who dwells in light unapproachable, whom no man has seen or can see, you who are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Master of the universe, and by whom all things not only were created, but are sustained. We cast ourselves before you this morning in humble recognition that we do not deserve to be in your presence. And yet you have loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He who came and was tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin. He who tells us that we can now approach your throne boldly because of our sympathizing advocate, Jesus the Christ. And so we're so thankful today to be able to come in your presence boldly. And we ask you, dear God, to bless us in the things we are planning at this congregation. It is our prayer and our fervent desire that everything we plan and design for the work of this church will be in accord with your will, that we be filled up and surrounded with the fullness of God and the revelation of his will in the Word of God. We thank you that in your great wisdom from all eternity, you designed the church through which your manifold wisdom would be manifested to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, and of course to this world as well. And we honor and we praise you for your eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. And we pray that this church will be humbly submitting to Jesus Christ as the master of all that we do. Our Lord, who appointed some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, unto the edifying of the body of Christ, we pray that this congregation of your people will have those as our goals as well, and that as we unfold the making of disciples here, we will do so in strict accordance with what you have unveiled in your holy word. We thank you that the apostles and prophets you appointed are in the foundation and reveal to us your will. We thank you for elders, for pastors, for teachers, for evangelists who help this church to grow and develop. And we pray that each of us will be surrounded by the message of your word. And so toward that end, O God, today, we pray that these things that are being presented today by our evangelist, Brother Edwin Crozier, will be things that are strictly in accord with what you would have us to do, and that we will be filled up with zeal and desire to do everything we can to make this church a light for Jesus, who gave his life for us. And we offer this prayer in his holy name. Amen.
A disciple. What is a disciple? Anybody know? Someone who honors God, learns from God, loves like God, points others to God while abiding in God's word. But how are we going to grow a disciple? This part of the presentation is where we get into some of the pragmatics. And for sake of continuity, the shepherds have asked me to go ahead and present this part of our presentation as well. But we want to talk about what we as a congregation are going to do, the plans. It's not a wholesale change from everything we've ever done before. It's incorporating much of what we've done before, adding in some new things, tweaking some things that we're doing. But I want to share with you our process and hone in on that word. Brother Andrews pointed out earlier that we're not just talking about a host of programs, though I'm sure that word will come out, but we are talking about a process. Because growth is a process. Growth is not a program. Growth is a process. And at the Livingston congregation, what we want our members and our guests to understand, what we want this flock and those sheep from without that are looking through the fence, longing to be a part of our great shepherd's fold, what we hope to recognize is that the things that we do as a congregation are not done simply because churches do things. They are done because God is looking for disciples, and it is our job to develop and make disciples. So how are we going to do that? Before I give you those pragmatics, I do want to give one shout out of thanks to Brian Harbor, who put this together. You're going to see this a lot. This will end up being in bulletins and brochures and flyers and probably posters on the building. We may paint it on the roof so it can be seen from the air. I was just kidding about that one. You're going to see this a lot, because what we hope is that this is not merely some type of mission statement that we've worked on and we've given this presentation and now we go on as business as usual. This is a scriptural guiding principle that's going to govern how we work, because we don't want to be distracted. Just like Jesus with the crowds and the disciples that wanted to distract him away from his purpose, we understand that the crowds would like to distract us from this. And we also understand that sometimes disciples don't understand the purpose and would like to distract us. And so we hope that what you recognize is this is our purpose. So how are we going to grow a disciple here in the Livingston congregation? What I want to share with you is the processes by which we help folks and help disciples learn these four principles. It's nothing amazingly different. It's just a difference in approach to what it is that we're doing and planning on doing. As a congregation, what is it that we are going to do? The process by which we help folks who are disciples or who are not become disciples. What is it that we're going to do to help folks learn to honor God? Now, there's going to be numerous ways in which you honor God individually. But as a congregation, the number one thing that we do to develop honor for God within our flock is our Sunday assemblies. Our Sunday assemblies bringing honor to God. That's what we're doing here today. We sing praises. We honor God by remembering the death of His Son around the table. We open up His Word to honor Him as God of the universe who gets to tell us what to do. As such, one of the things that we've been thinking about is what can we do to help what we're doing here develop that honor even more. There are probably plenty of things. I could probably spend an hour talking about very little things that we need to tweak, but some major things that we want to present to you threefold. Number one, we're going to make a change in how we do our announcements. The reality is, as a congregation grows, the way we've done announcements ends up just overrunning our time of honoring God. Can you imagine in Jerusalem when they had 5,000 to 10,000 people, if they did announcements the way we have done announcements? They'd never get to the time to honor God. We're wanting to change how we do announcements. We're going to move announcements out of our time for honoring God, out of our assembly. We're probably going to have some PowerPoint presentation before and after the assembly so you can see those announcements that have been given during our assembly, handouts that will be available to members so they can know the things that need to be prayed for. But we're going to be shifting our announcements. Why? Because we don't want to take 15 minutes of our time that should be spent honoring God doing something else. So we're going to be making that shift. Additionally, to be able to intensify our focus on the Lord's Supper and honoring God for what He did for us there, we want to take some of the confusion out of that Lord's Supper collection thing so that nobody has to say separate and apart from, or someone accidentally says separate and apart of the Lord's Supper, which is completely confusing. And we're going to separate the collection from the Lord's Supper. We'll continue to conduct the Lord's Supper probably at about the same time in our assembly as it has been, but move the collection toward the end of our assembly so that there is a distinction between those two different opportunities that we have in our worship and honoring of God. And thirdly, one of the things that's always difficult is if we get into our assembly and there's a song that a song leader is super excited about, but almost nobody knows it. And it's hard to honor God when we're singing a song we don't know. And so one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to take the last Wednesday night of each trimester. That's a Wednesday night when a lot of new teachers were wishing they had had a whole week to get their classrooms ready. And so we're going to pull all those classes out. We're all going to meet in here on that last Wednesday night of the trimester. And that's going to be a time for us to worship God and honor Him in song. But it's specifically going to be a time where we can devote to learning those new songs that the song leaders are super excited about. That way, when they finally get into the assembly, we can actually honor God with them. And so those are some things that we're going to do. There's, like I said, I'm sure there's 100 tiny little things that'll take place over the year to come as we're striving to make our assemblies more devoted to honoring God, developing honor for God in us as disciples. But these are three big things that are going to be happening. Regarding the Lord's Supper, I meant to tell you, that'll be taking place over the next couple of weeks. So when that happens, you'll know what's going on. We just don't want you to be surprised when that change takes place. The number one thing we as a congregation do to help people learn from God, I understand that just about everything we do, there's an element of learning from God. We're preaching from the Word right now, which is an element of learning from God. But the number one thing we do that focuses intensely on helping disciples learn from God is our weekly Bible classes. And what we hope that you understand is that we have these weekly Bible classes, not just so you can check them off and say, well, I'm a good Christian because I went to Bible class this week, or not so we can have an argument about whether disciples really have to go to Bible class. That's the least of our concern. What we're concerned about is developing disciples. And what do? Disciples learn from God. That's what we're focused on. And the number one process that we go through as a congregation to develop that learning from God is our weekly Bible classes. On all four of these things, this is probably the one we feel like we've done the best at. in the years past. And we just want to focus our attention on recognizing kind of this difference of concept. We're not doing Bible classes because churches have done Bible classes all their lives. We're not doing Bible classes just to have something else to do. We're not doing Bible classes to give us something to argue over or to feel guilty about. We're doing Bible classes because we want to help you be a better disciple. I hope you want to be a better disciple. Disciples learn from God. The one area where we are going to be working over this coming year is looking at long-term planning for our adult classes. There have been a lot of times where it's kind of, okay, what's next trimester? What are we going to do? And that's not helpful. And so the next step in our Bible classes is figuring out some long-term planning, especially for our adult classes. As those planning sessions take place throughout this year, you'll hear more about that. On loving like God, one of the things that we just had to say is that while in our sermons and in our teaching, we encourage everyone to love one another like God, we have not had a process by which that is developed purposefully. And that's something we want to change this year. We want to develop a process that will help you become a disciple who loves like God. And the way that's going to take place is through connections with one another as we learn to love one another. And so it's going to take us a year to unfold this fully, but we're going to develop some house-to-house meetings. We're going to meet here as we continue to honor God together as a congregation, but we want to help disciples develop their relationships with other disciples, learning how to love one another by providing you with the opportunity for house-to-house meetings. Now, it's strictly voluntary. We're not going to assign you to someone's house that you have to go to every week. This is going to be about you if you want to grow as a disciple. We're providing you the opportunity to grow as a disciple who learns to love others like God loves them. So it's going to be strictly voluntary. It's going to be conducted in three sessions a year. There will be a 12-week session in the spring, a 10-week session in the summer, and a 12-week session in the fall. It's going to be based on driving home what we learn here in our assembly. That's what the learning is going to be as you come together. But there's going to be opportunity for sharing needs, for sharing prayer requests, for sharing praise and thanksgiving. There's going to be an opportunity to learn more from one another about what we've been studying in our assemblies. And there's going to be an opportunity to pray for one another in these house-to-house meetings. We are completely excited about this. This is going to be available to every person who wants to be a part of it. But we do need to let you know that even right now, the shepherds are planning for some pilot groups that will take place this spring. These are groups that are going to be made up of our first leaders. All right? What's going to be happening in the spring is the first crop of leaders. Notice I said first crop of leaders. Our first crop of leaders are going to be involved in a couple of these meetings that take place through a session in the spring so that they can see what a meeting like this should be like. But come the fall in August, there are going to be some more lessons about this. We're going to have an opportunity for you to sign up for whichever meeting you want to be a part of. Whoever's leading it, whoever's house it's going to be at, whatever time of the week it's going to be, you'll get to choose that. The meetings will be limited, though, to 12 to 14 people right around in there. So you'll get to choose which one you want to commit yourself to for that session, strictly voluntary. But we want you to be aware that come August, everyone who wants to be a part of this will get to be a part of it. Please don't be upset when you hear about a couple of pilot groups that are taking place in the spring if you didn't happen to get to be asked to be a part of that. That's, again, the first crop of leaders, and then we're going to be opening it up to the entire congregation in August. I am super excited about this. I really am. I think this is going to be something that helps us close the back door. I know that we have worked a lot on evangelism and we want to work a lot on evangelism. But it does us little good to baptize one person if that means we have to give up on someone else because we can't meet their spiritual needs. I think this is going to help close that back door as we help disciples learn to love one another through this process of house-to-house meetings. When it comes to pointing others to God, it seems obvious to me that the process by which we go through that is evangelistic outreach. We do not have a singular, solitary plan for evangelistic outreach. There are going to be all kinds of things that are going to be done in regard to evangelistic outreach. However, we do have one thing that we want to work on immediately. And that is that the number one contact. The number one opportunity to help make a disciple is someone who shows up in our midst. In 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about unbelievers and outsiders coming into our midst and making sure that we conduct our assembly in a way that they will know God is present. And so immediately from now on, we are going to start working on a process and a plan that will demonstrate to every guest that walks through our doors that God is indeed among us and that God loves our guests and we love our guests. There are all kinds of things that we want to present about this. We're going to call it our guest evangelism. There's going to be opportunities for hosts or greeters. There's going to be opportunities for ushers. There's going to be opportunities for folks who will follow up with our guests. There are going to be opportunities for studies. There's going to be all kinds of volunteer opportunities. In fact, this is only going to work if you will volunteer to be a part of it. On February 8th, in our morning assembly, we're going to break this one open a lot more. We're going to hand out a survey where you get to hear what's a part of this and you get to decide which part of it you want to be involved in if you can at this time. The great thing about this is it helps take what we're doing here, making it more guest friendly, making it something that you're willing to bring your friends and neighbors to so that they can learn how to honor God along with us. That's the number one thing. But the number two thing is, I just have to be honest with you, it gives just about anybody who wants to an opportunity to be involved in our evangelistic outreach. So look forward to that on February 8th as we talk about our guest evangelism. There are so many things that can go along with this, but I hope as we've demonstrated this, a disciple is someone who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, who points others to God while abiding in God's word. We as a congregation are going to promote that through this process. Our Sunday assemblies, our weekly Bible classes, house-to-house meetings that are being developed this year, and our evangelistic outreach. This is our process. You're going to be hearing about this again and again and again. And oftentimes you're going to ask, why are we doing this? And we're going to say, because it's making a disciple. That's what it's about. You're going to ask, why aren't we doing that? And we're going to say, because Jesus was told to come back into town, and he said, no, I've got a purpose. I've got to go to the next town. And we're going to say, we've got a purpose. It's to make disciples. And there are a lot of things that can distract us from that. We're focused on our purpose. I hope you can be excited about this. This is what we're going to be focused on as a congregation. Before we move into our invitation, Brother Tim Fannin is going to lead us in a prayer.
Let's bow together, please. Heavenly gracious Father, hallowed be thy name. We thank you, Father, for the privilege we have of acknowledging and worshiping you, our God and Father. You are above all, yet you stooped far enough to allow your creation to be kept in your loving and powerful hands. May you be praised in all the earth. Father, we pray that all we do in this place and time brings honor to your name and helps us work together in unison as a portion of your marvelous universal family. Help us understand our manifold purpose, which is to glorify you, continually grow in knowledge of your grace, love, and power, abide in your holy word, love one another, help others see how amazing the gift of your only Son, Jesus the Christ, truly is. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten of our Father and sovereign God, and have faith that the Bible reveals all things that pertain to life and godliness and brings to light all the blessings that come through your Holy Son. Father, please help us move into this new year with zeal, faith, and humility. We acknowledge that the best laid plans of men are useless if they do not align with your plan, which has been revealed in your holy word. Help us walk in your light and continually work to be healing salt and warming and revealing light unto the community about us and all those in our sphere of influence. Please hold all here in your gracious love and help us be one in you. Guard us and keep us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
just a moment, we're going to be singing, He Leadeth Me. He Leadeth Me. If you're not a part of this congregation and haven't been here before, this is what we call an invitation. It's an invitation because we're inviting anyone who wants to be a disciple to become a disciple. What's our purpose? Making disciples. Disciples are people who honor God, learn from God, love like God, point others to God, abiding in God's word. That's very simply it. One of the earliest scriptures we read in our presentation today was from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." Are you ready to observe whatever you learn from God? We'd like to invite you to be one of His disciples. And we can take care of that this morning because that's what we are about. We are about making disciples. And we'll baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit this morning, right now, so you can walk out of this building a disciple. If we can help you with that, won't you come forward right now as we stand and sing, He Leadeth.